It's time to take this game into overtime.
The official podcast
of the Average Joe's Sports Show
on 90.9 The Light Sports
for our generation.
We'll head to Joe Knows Best, and boy, do we have a good one today.
Oh, you know, my Nate, goodness. I'm excited.
To debate social topics.
I'm excited about this one.
You better be excited. We're all fired up now.
Yeah!
Woo!
Yeah!
We're in the wrestling mood.
Greatest University on Earth! Yeah!
So on the docket today for Joe Knows Best, we're going to roast Rob Manfred, basically.
Oh,
almost exclusively. Rob Manfred's been getting on my nerves lately.
Oh,
almost,
man.
Exclusively.
So we'll start with the Cleveland Indians, the national runner-up, I guess you could say, loser of the World Series. And what has been happening this week with Chief Wahoo, the mascot for the Cleveland Indians. So we'll get started
Wahoo!
Here. Chief Wahoo. And obviously, the Indians are indeed the Cleveland Indians. So, Chief Wahoo first appeared in 1932. He officially became a mascot of the Indians in 1947. He has been worn on the jersey for a number of years, and the hats as well. Most recently, back in 2014, the Indians phased him off of the hat and replaced his logo on their hats, at least most of the hats that they wear, with just a C.
I think it looks good.
Which doesn't look too bad, I was going to say. So
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so the C doesn't look too bad, but what's happening with Chief Wahoo is just like what's happening with the Washington Redskins, where advocates, Indians groups, civil rights groups, and the likes of them think that Chief Wahoo is too offensive, and this has led for MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred. He made lots of statements the last couple of weeks. He's just making statement after statement as the MLB season starts in 2017. He's pressuring the Indians to get rid of Chief Wahoo. He said he wanted to have the Indians transition away. He says he's been in talks with Indian owner Paul Dolan about abolishing the what he calls the divisive symbol, which has sparked debate. A quote that he says is, MLB spokesman Pat Courtney, "Thus far, there have been productive discussions with the Cleveland Indians regarding the commissioner's desire to transition away from the Chief Wahoo logo. We have specific steps in an identified process and are making progress." So here's where I'd like to start. Chief Wahoo of the Cleveland Indians, I know this is a radio show, but you pull out your phones or your computers and you take a look at the logo, Chief Wahoo. Now, Chief Wahoo does happen to be red.
You can also search Cleveland Indians to find that.
You could also do that as well. So Chief Wahoo happens to be red. To be painfully honest with you, I don't think he looks too much of an Indian as he does a Mexican. But I aside from that, he does have the feather, which we'll get to in a second. And he is red, so that's trying to depict an Indian. And this is something that was created back
in the
30s and the 40s. So you take a look at this, and what examples have we seen of this before? Well, we've seen, I believe it was North Dakota State. They were the Fighting Sioux, and now they're the Bison. They transitioned away from their name a few years back after there was a lot of protest up there in North Dakota. And I know certain
I think it was just University of North Dakota.
Was it North Dakota? The Fighting Sioux? Okay, it wasn't North Dakota State. I think it was one of them, yeah.
I think North Dakota State has always been the Bison.
Okay, so anyway, so they transitioned away from that. You have the ongoing struggle about the Washington Redskins and the Cleveland Indians. What's the major difference between the Washington Redskins and the Cleveland Indians? And you could throw the Cincinnati Reds into this, because what the Cincinnati Reds used to be called in the 50s.
Yeah.
The Redlegs. Look at that. And I know that they've gone away from that. That's kind of in the books. They
I don't know
fixed
if we can add
enough.
The Reds, because
they,
if it was the Redlegs, you know, take
yeah,
a look
they,
at
they
any
fixed
white
it up.
Guy
it's
in
gone.
The
it's,
summer
yeah,
with
yeah, yeah,
shorts on. He's Redlegs.
Yeah. So, yeah. So
yeah, that's me.
Yeah. So that's kind of gone. But what is the main difference between the Indians and the Redskins? Redskin, if you really want to make the case, which I'm going to make the case for both of these names here, but if you really want to make the case, Redskin is 100 times more defamatory.
It's a racist
than,
term.
Yes, a slang than an Indian. So you take and the Kansas City Chiefs as well.
Yeah.
A chief is a historical term.
Or
and
the Atlanta
Indian,
Braves. The Atlanta Braves.
Native
the
American is more. I don't know if Indian. It comes from the Indies.
Yeah.
Where you go back and Christopher Columbus thought he was on one side of the world when he wasn't.
Yeah.
But it has kind of made its way into history. So I don't necessarily think that Chief Wahoo is, and I'm trying to keep all accounts into perspective here, I don't really think Chief Wahoo is that offensive. I think, if anything, maybe you tweak the logo a little bit. You modernize the logo because it should be modernized. So you take a look, and I have a whole bunch of articles pulled up here about Chief Wahoo. I think a lot of the protests are just a certain political party just trying to gang up against others and you know, go out and protest, you know, oh, yeah, civil rights, oh, this, oh, that. And I really don't think they're making a point. I don't think Chief Wahoo is doing as much harm, and not, at least to my perspective, as it is preserving a legacy of a logo. And I don't think that, I don't see too much evidence as to why they should transition away from it. It's been a part of the team's history back to the 1940s. The team has decreased using it.
Yeah, and it's
now a member of the Potawatomi tribe, Carla Getz, says, "We are people, not mascots, not logos, or not imagery." So Carla Getz, to that I would say, how about all the white people that are being used as logos in sports?
Yeah.
I mean, how about all the
Patriots?
Exactly.
The Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
I mean, just the people in general. So people are used as mascots. I don't think it was necessarily made to be anything derogatory. And I did find a quote on one of the articles I was reading about the feather. And the feather, an Indian chief said, you know, this is something that's sacred to us. It was used as our fighting of fighting warriors and the spirit gods and all that. If they think the feather, maybe you do a modernized Chief Wahoo logo where he's less red.
Yes.
Or not red. Now, red has become a color of the Indians.
Yeah.
So the Indians will continue to have the color red. They can have red, okay?
They'll never change that.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe you make him less red and you do something else with the feather, but completely phasing away. And let me say this. I'm in favor of not phasing away the Redskins. I'm in favor of not phasing away the Chiefs. I'm in favor of not phasing away the Indians or any more of these historical logos.
The Braves, the Blackhawks.
That are used not, yeah, the Blackhawks as well.
That's the weird thing. The Blackhawks have never once come under fire for this.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jake. You bring that up.
They've had the same logo. They've never changed their logo, and they've been a team since 1926.
So you never hear a lot about the Blackhawks as well, even though they're in there, and they have much more of a colorful. You take a look at Chief Wahoo. Chief Wahoo is somewhat of a cartoon character compared to what the Redskins have and compared to what the Blackhawks have.
Or even
he's somewhat of a fictional character. He's a little guy running around like Mickey Mouse, if that's what you want to call it. So if you want to think of it that way, don't think of it as derogatory toward Native Americans. And you know what? If you're a Cleveland Indians fan or you have Native American heritage, 434-582-2909, because I want to hear from you. I want to take other opinions on this because I know sometimes I can be not close-minded, but I like to hear other people's opinions on why maybe they think Chief Wahoo is going to be a little too offensive. But does Joe know best when he says that Chief Wahoo should not be transitioned out like MLB Nazi Rob Manfred wants? Maybe he should just be tweaked or changed a little bit and progressed around as the coming years come. Am I correct about that? We've heard a lot from you, Jake. Kyle, does Joe know best?
No.
No, okay. Are you just playing devil's advocate?
No.
Okay. How's John on the best?
Well, in this situation, in our day and age, especially in 2016, 2017, the way that things are moving forward is we're learning more about legacies and how those legacies have actually been tainted from a disrespect. And it's difficult to say, yeah, well, this has been around for a long time. Well, there have been a lot of things that were around for a long time that turned out to be not that great.
This is true.
And so it's not necessarily that we need to look at it from preserving a legacy. I think we do need to look at it from their perspective and another perspective that I don't think we can understand because we didn't grow up, at least I didn't grow up Native American. I actually do know a few. I got to meet a few in my travels from here and there. And a few of them have been close friends. And it's nothing that I can say I understand going through.
I'd love to know what they think about Chief Wahoo.
Absolutely. I would say because Chief Wahoo is a little cartoonish,
yes.
I actually find that a little bit more derogatory than even the Redskins because it is cartoonish. It almost makes it jokingly cartoonish. You know, the big smile, show the white teeth.
Everybody has white teeth.
Yeah,
I know my teeth are a little bit crooked, but
because it's a little cartoonish, I think it needs to be modernized, like you said. Yes. Yeah.
So
but
you don't think they should phase it out?
I do think that in the future, next 5 years, I think a lot of these teams are going to be phased out and changed.
Well, let me tell you this: I finally found what I was looking for. Chief Wahoo is part of an exhibit at the Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia, which is in Michigan, which, what in the world? It's at Ferris State over in Big Rapids, Michigan, which I that doesn't make any sense to me why that would be in Michigan. But I for this to be just fully included in somewhat of a Jim Crow era caricature, if you will, I think that might be called for it to be modernized. But I would be interested to see, and I know a number of groups, especially including the Cleveland American Indian Movement, have described the mascot as expletive, bigoted, racist, shameful. I don't. For me, I don't necessarily see it. I would be interested to see what more people think. I do understand if indeed that it causes so much of an uproar, I think people need to understand that it's not being used in a derogatory way. It was never. I don't think you talk about people.
Well, I think you are right. I don't think it was necessarily meant to be used in a derogatory way. But I think that's as it's grown and as we've kind of evolved as a country, we're getting to a point that we're looking at it from different perspectives, and we can't necessarily see it from what it was originally because none of us were alive then, so we don't necessarily know. But I do think that, you know, not to say that Cleveland has to, you know, change everything about it, because the tribe was something that was so cool
that's what should more be
recognized. I think we could see it phased into something to do with the tribe. Maybe it does cut down on Chief Wahoo. Maybe it is modernized. Maybe that's transitioned out, but the tribe stays, because that could be, you know, they really can't look at that with how they see it right now. And I don't think we want them to look at, you know, baseball or any of the sports mascots or otherwise with the way that they seem to be looking at them now. So I love the tribe. I think that stays. Overall, I do think that it'll eventually phase out.
Jake, does Joe know best?
I think you do. I think if they're going to phase it out, it should be the ownership of the Cleveland Indians' choice. It should not be Rob Manfred forcing them to do it.
Yes.
That should be the owner of the team's decision to make. It should not be the commissioner's decision to make, because the commissioner works for the owners. The owners do not work for the commissioner.
So, all right.
So they should be the ones deciding.
So we'll see what happens with this. But I do think, as you said, with all these mascots, I think they should be. If you want to make any case for them, embrace them so that they are embraced, not so they are tainted upon. And if you have to do that, then we can talk about how you're going to do it. But changing the names and completely ditching logos that have been around for years and years and years, I don't think that's right. So, number two, and Joe knows best. What are you laughing at?
I'm sorry. I thought that was number one and number two. I just saw Rob Manfred. I'm sorry.
Yes. No, that was not number one and number two.
Is he a number two as well?
Yes, yep. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So, Rob Manfred, number two. So, Rob Manfred, in addition to wanting to transition out Chief Wahoo, he also wants to limit the number of pitchers that can come in during an inning. So, this is certainly interesting.
Joe Girardi will not be happy with this in September?
In his never-ending quest to speed up the game of baseball, Rob Manfred has now issued more statements. Now, we already had the four-pitch walk removed, that the intentional walk can be now issued with a flick of a finger, which I think is good. But this is absolutely not good at all, because I've seen it
which
done.
Which finger?
Any finger. So I
can't tell if he's mad that, or if he wants to walk him.
I saw that done in the Atlantic League last year, so now I do not agree with this whatsoever. I'll read a statement by Manfred. He says, "I've got nothing against relief pitchers, but they do two things to the game. They slow the game down, and our relievers have become so dominant at the back end that they actually rob action out of the end of the game." Oh, my goodness, Rob Manfred, did you really just say that?
Okay.
This is absolutely unbelievable.
Nope.
Yeah,
nope.
So
I'm a fan of a team who is built around their bullpen.
Exactly. Yeah, so me too. So let me elaborate on this for just a moment. So I don't even know where to start with this, to be honest. He says, I've got nothing against relief pitchers. First of all, he's treating relief pitchers like, I don't know, like there's some kind of sideshow in the MLB. Like, they're not players like everybody else. They do two things to the game. Like, you know, shame on those relief pitchers. They slow the game down, and our relievers have become so dominant. Yeah,
Cy Young last year.
At the back end. And they actually... Now, this is absolutely ridiculous, especially the second part about the back end, because how in the world are you supposed to fashion your team if you're not using... Baseball is a game about strategy. And this goes back to a point that I made on this show before. Why are we looking for action in sports? Sports is about the competition. Any way it goes, it's not to be rigged. It's not to be toyed with. It's to be watched. It's to be rooted on, and entertainment can go around it, but we should not try to get action out of the game of sports, and we should not complain when the star golfer or the best team in the league or this and that is not happening in the championship or whatever you may call it in sports. So by him saying this, this makes me a little angry because he wants action out of relievers. Well, you're trying to win the game. You're not trying to put on a show for the fans.
You get action out of the relievers. Good relievers are fun to watch.
Exactly.
It's just like it, and it changes even quicker. You could have a guy come in who's throwing sidearm 85 miles an hour, and then the next guy's and he's the setup guy who comes into the eighth. He throws a sidearm turbo slider that hooks away from the bat. The guy who comes in the ninth just blows by you at 105 miles an hour. That's fun to watch.
So continuing the statement by Rob Manfred, he goes on to say, we have to accept the game is changing, maybe faster than some of us would like. Our job is how to best manage the change. My first priority is the dead time issue, especially late in the game, which we have started to address with changes such as limiting the instant replay time, waiving of the four-pitch intentional walk, and limiting mound visits. So... I don't know why Rob Manfred is trying. I mean, the game doesn't have to change unless you change it, honestly. So I don't know. He's complaining about, and this goes back to another thing. Why are people complaining about the pace of games? Because TV contracts need to be negotiated,
yeah.
And money is involved. And I don't like when sports is swayed because of money and TV contracts, because you're messing with the game. And
these are, didn't these, we already establish sports is entertainment and about money?
Yes. I'm against it. I'm going on. These last few Joe Knows Bests have been a manifesto against sports being labeled as entertainment.
This manifesto brought to you by Joe Macy.
Exactly. So
these rule changes are for people who watch five baseball games a year, yeah, not exactly. Watch the bulk of the season.
This is absolutely ridiculous.
These are complaints for
limiting.
People who watch a few games a year.
So Joe Macy manifesto will be available August 17th on Amazon Prime and at your local bookstore.
Amazon Prime. At Borders. I'm old fashioned. So does Joe Know Best when he says, and I do want to read this actually before I make my final statement. An SB Nation comparison between games in 1984 and 2014 showed the time between pitches nearly doubled in 30 years. They found that there were 57 minutes and 41 seconds between pitches in the 2014 game. So maybe that's something that you can fix up. Maybe you say that a pitch has to be thrown, or you give, and this could be quite meticulous, but maybe you give them 10 seconds in between pitches to, you know, walk around and put their hands on the dirt or whatever. But actually limiting the amount of pitchers that can come in, and maybe you could say, oh, yeah, well, that brings more strategy into the game. The strategy behind it is who's going to be in and who's going to be out, because you never know what kind of game they're going to throw. You never know how they're going to match up against the batter.
And then in September,
and you never know until they get on the mound.
And then in September when you have a... That's what gets on my nerves. In September, when you have expanded rosters and Joe Girardi's bringing in a new pitcher for every batter in the seventh inning and beyond.
Exactly. And when you're going through a game, you never know how much that can mess up. One batter can change the scope of an entire game. And when you have a lefty specialist, man, this will put them out of business.
Oh, yeah,
they're going to have to come into the game, and they're going to have to retire four or five batters a week or a season or whatever you may call it. But whatever is chipped in for them to get their job done for the team, that's the way that they play the game. That's the way their teams play the game.
Yeah.
So does Joe Know Best when he says that I think that this rule is absolutely ridiculous? Although some rules of the game should be limited. Instant replay time, if you want to do that. Time in between pitches, we can talk about that. I love the intentional walk rule, but not this at all. Joe Knows Best when he says that the amount of time, the amount of pitchers that should be in a game should not be limited at all.
No, you definitely know best. I know on this. Best. That is okay. That is a stupid rule. That's Rob Manfred is slowly becoming is trying to replace Gary Bettman and Roger Goodell as the worst commissioner in American sports.
Don't forget about Adam Silver.
I didn't think that was possible.
Yeah. I mean, I like what he's doing. To be honest, from a diplomatic perspective, I don't necessarily dislike Rod Manfred in the sense that he's very appropriately and calmly trying to make some rule changes, and he's being progressive about it. I do like that, but I think that he's being a little bit too controlling, and he's trying to have his hand in a little too much. Kyle, does Jonah best?
I will agree.
Okay, thank you very much. Explanation?
My explanation, although it would be dangerous to put a pitch clock in between times, because remember, these guys, your muscles...
Yeah, that would be rushing the pitch.
Your muscles are under a strain, and sometimes when they walk around, you know, they throw the ball, or maybe they, you know, rotate it, kind of loosen up their shoulder again. Each one of those things can help preserve a pitcher's arm. And we've seen so many pitchers... And I think probably the most predominant pitcher that I can think of that was just so dominant, but injuries had him, was Kerry Wood, played for the Cubs back a couple years ago. But so good, but had to have surgery. I think he missed 2-3 seasons almost.
Something like that.
And so I think if we put a pitch clock on it, they're going to be focused more on that. They're not going to be focused on what pitch they want to throw. They're also not going to be focused on the players that are running. So imagine how many times there's going to be a pitch clock. It's coming down to 1 second.
There goes the runner.
What's going to happen? There goes the runner. Oh, he's still
another
base.
That's a very good point. I think that if that was indeed to be toyed with, there would have to be a lot of discussion and experimentation with a pitch clock of some sort. If you were to do that, time in between pitches maybe just isn't messed with.
That's part of the sanctity
of the game.
And we look at some of these games, and you have some games where the time between pitches is boom, 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 boom. That's a rhythm that a pitcher
from
gets
a broadcaster
into.
Perspective, you look up and the next pitch is thrown.
And they miss it. But at the same time, you have others where it's a little bit slower because that gameplay is maybe worth more. And so everybody is thinking and more methodical. And I think that makes the strategy of the game different. And I think those who are baseball fans, who love baseball, can understand that. And they're like, okay, what is he going to do? Is he going to throw a slider? Is he going to throw a fastball? Is he going to throw a changeup? How is he going to throw this next pitch? I want to know. I want to know what he's going to do. And sometimes that extra minute or two allows somebody who's sitting on a couch to be like, I'm going to tweet this. He's going to throw a slider.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there's more. Okay. It's just...
Not that it should allow time. We're not putting a pitch count for tweets. But.
No, not necessarily that. But I think there is an interaction that happens, especially when there's people who really are fans.
In the stands, you know, take a bite of your hot dog. Take a bite. I mean, nowadays with the food, you're eating a whole meal.
What are you going to do? I'm having a brat, man. I'm having a brat. Oh, what? That guy's out. Where did the two outs go?
That's literally me at a baseball game.